Our next case is Everstar Merchandising v. Willis Electric, 2021-18-82. Mr. Babcock.
Good morning again, Your Honors. Brent Babcock with Loeb & Loeb. For the appellant, Everstar, the PGR petitioner at the PTAB. So this case, although the same parties, is unrelated to the first case. And in this case, the board determined in its final written decision that the claims were not unpatentable. And there's three issues that we've raised in the briefs, and I'd like to summarize here three errors that the board committed in reaching its conclusion. The first error is looking at two different reasons to combine. There's the increased durability reason to combine, and there's the decreased cost reason to combine. In a summary sentence, Everstar said patents would have been obvious because it would have been for increased durability and decreased cost with the conjunction and. The board said, well, you said and, therefore we're only going to consider those in conjunction. And because durability fell, cost necessarily fells. Decreased cost necessarily fells. And we go through, and I'll walk you through a little bit today, where it's very clear that Everstar did not argue those two concepts conjointly, but they argued those two concepts independently. So the board erred by saying you must, they can only consider them together.
Could I understand this better? We're talking about a primary reference here of Kumada, which is a MET light string configuration for use on trees. And as I understand it, in Kumada, they save on the cost of a copper wire by using non-conductive wire wrapped around the outside of the copper wire, correct?
Correct.
And the patent here has a different solution to what seems to be the same problem by using a polymer wrapped around the copper wire inside.
Inside the insulation.
Inside.
Yeah.
Right. And what you argued in the petition, in which I understand the board to have commenced the proceeding on, is a theory that putting the polymer non-conductive material inside the wire was a simple substitution for the other solution of putting it outside the wire, correct?
That's essentially correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
The blade has showed it inside, showed the polymer fibers inside the insulation. Kumada had everything else, but not the internal polymer, so that combination
right.
gave everything.
So it seems to me that we're talking about cost savings over twisted wire, but twisted wire is not one of the references here. And durability, I'm not sure that you argued that the configuration using the Bladus is more durable than the Kumada reference. What seems to me involved here is that it's a simple substitution of putting the reinforcement inside the wire as opposed to outside the wire, and that's what the issue is here, and that really didn't get addressed by the board. Am I mistaken about that?
Well, I think the board kind of conflated the two and they said that it would be a simple substitution, and the reason would be to increase the durability of the Kumada wire and to decrease its cost.
But I don't see, and tell me if I'm wrong, I don't see that there was really an argument that there was a cost saving or a durability advantage over Kumada in making the combination. That what we have here is a situation in which moving the reinforcement from outside the wire to inside the wire was a simple substitution that achieved the same objectives that were achieved by Kumada. Am I mistaken about that?
It was a simple substitution to obtain when you have to external a cord and a wire, that's not exactly the same as having the polymer strand on the inside. So the board did look at the substitution, but then it said, in order to get to a sub, why would you substitute? Why would you make the substitution? What's the reason to combine under KSR? And the board said, well, that reason is polymer wire.
KSR seems to suggest that you don't need a reason if it's a simple substitution.
Well, we didn't argue that. So I don't want to advocate here for a position that wasn't advocated below.
You didn't argue that? I thought you did argue.
Well, we argue.
Wait. In the petition, the way I read the petition, you argue simple substitution.
We did. There is a statement, but then we go on to explain why that substitution would make sense to a person of skill in the art. The decision on institution, which is kind of the starting grounds for the, what we did on page 11 of our gray brief is we looked at what the board said in the decision institution and how they set up the trial, the issues in the trial, and we try to color code the site. So the board says that for purposes of institution, which is not the same as a final decision.
I'm having trouble because I don't see that there is an argument that there's a cost saving by using the Bladus over Kamada. Nor do I see that there's an argument that there's a durability advantage in using the Bladus over Kamada.
Well, the reason it's
rather that it achieves the same durability and the same cost saving that is found in Kamada.
The slight nuance, Your Honor, is that when you just look at Kumada's wire alone, it has to have a certain amount of strength in and of itself and durability and it's going to have a certain amount of copper in it to begin with. It's going to be required in order for it to, a standard wire. It has to be a certain gauge wire that has to be used. And so even if you put a rope around it, that doesn't really affect what that wire has to be, or at least that conducting wire still has to meet certain parameters.
But I don't think you're responding to my question. What I'm saying is that the question is, was there a motivation to improve on Kumada? And what I see is that the same cost saving exists in Kumada as in the combination. And the same durability exists in Kumada as in the combination. So it's really a simple substitution situation rather than the particular advantages of doing it with the internal reinforcement as opposed to the external reinforcement.
I would agree that you could stop at the simple substitution and say, yes, that's simple enough. But the argument that was made below is that if you just focus on the conducting wire of Kamada, which has a certain amount of copper in it, you could actually make Kamada with the external wire, but you could make it with less copper if you put a polymer strand in the conducting
less
wire itself.
Less copper than in Kamada?
Yes, because Kamada has one conducting strand and one supporting strand, one wrap strand. But if you actually took the conducting strand, you could actually make that wire with less copper.
Where do I find that?
Well, that's the reason to combine.
No, but in the record.
Where
did you present evidence that there's a cost saving over Kamada by reducing the diameter of the copper wire?
So that's our brief goes through all of the times post institution where we went through and explained how.
No, just show me where. Show me where there's evidence that there's a cost saving over Kamada by doing the internal reinforcement.
Okay. So we began to outline the issues in our blue brief on page 29, where we start, this is all about the cost savings by using less copper.
But less copper than Kumada. Where does it say less copper than Kumada?
Well, so Kumada is there for all the limitations except for that wire. Okay, so the Bladus is there to say less copper makes it cheaper.
But less copper than Kumada?
Yes, it says.
Where does it say that the Bladus uses less copper than Kumada?
Well, they're different references. So the Bladus doesn't reference Kumada, but what the Bladus says is you can make a wire that does the same thing cheaper by using less copper.
Does it mean less copper than conventional?
Yes, that's exactly what the Bladus says.
Don't you mean a different grade?
No.
AWG.
Oh, that's a different.
A gauge.
Different gauge. That's what the Bladus teaches, is that if you have a given wire and you have you can actually reduce the amount of copper, the gauge of the copper, by inserting in place of the copper, you can put in polymer fibers. And that reduction in copper is a cost savings.
That's an advantage over the twisted wire solution that was conventional. But that's not what Kumada is. Kumada is not a twisted wire solution. It's having reinforcement on the outside of the wire.
But Kumada still has a conducting wire.
Yeah. Where do we find that there's less conducting wire as a result of adopting the de Bladus solution?
That's exactly what we argue.
Well, I'm asking you, show me.
Okay. Show me
where it says that that's an advantage here, that by using the de Bladus solution, you have less copper wire than Kumada.
Okay, Your Honor. So on page 31, we have some of the quotes in our blue brief. De Bladus 120 teaches that copper is becoming ever more expensive. Important to find new cable.
There's absolutely a discussion of saving copper wire is a cost saving and it's desirable. No question about it. Where does it say that by using the Bladus solution we save on the copper wire from Kumada?
That was the argument, is that you would combine.
Where does it say that? I don't find that.
Maybe you want to find it for rebuttal?
Sure, Your Honor. Oh, we are getting to time. The question here, though, is, Your Honors, is did the board even consider that issue? The board said, first, because you argued only durability and cost together, I'm only going to consider them together. The board would consider them together, and therefore the board said, we're not going to consider reduced cost. But more importantly, the board said, reduced cost wasn't specifically set forth in the petition. Therefore, it's a new argument on reply, and we're not going to consider it at all. So the board did not even consider the issues that you're raising, Judge Dyke. The board did not even consider reduced cost, did not consider the evidence, because they said, we're considering it to be a brand new argument on reply for the first time. Therefore, we're going to exercise our discretion to exclude the argument altogether.
Do you agree that you did not make the argument in the petition?
I do. It was not expressly set forth in the petition. But the question here, Your Honor, is that once the board clearly raised it in the DI, in the institution decision, the board clearly relied upon it in the DI to say, we're going to institute on this basis. It was then raised in our deposition of our witness. It was raised by Willis in the patent owner response. It was raised in their expert declarations. It was raised in our reply. So by the time we got to our reply, the issue was fully in play. The door had been opened by the board. The board's rules say that a reply may address issues raised by the board in the petition, or in the decision on institution, and the reply may address issues raised by the patent owner in the patent owner response. And we went through in quite a bit of detail why all of those issues were fully addressed, and that door was wide open by the time our reply came along. So the board did abuse its discretion by saying it's a brand new issue, I'll reply.
Well, the board can refuse to, can refuse or allow new arguments in a reply brief. How can it abuse its discretion if it's following its own rules, its own process?
The board's rules say we are permitted. We are permitted to address issues.
But it doesn't say the board is required.
Oh, it says we are allowed. We are allowed. The board's.
That's right. You're permitted, but it's the board that's got to give the permission.
And it does in its rules. And the only exception
it has the authority to give the permission, but it's not required to give permission.
The board's rules set forth the way the arguments are presented, and the rules clearly state that we are permitted, we are allowed to address issues raised by the board and by the patent owner in the patent owner response. The only restriction is that you cannot raise an issue for the first time in a reply. So if the issue had not been raised previously, and I was suddenly on reply, give up with a new theory, reduce cost, there the board has discretion to say, we're not going to consider it. But the board doesn't have the discretion here to say an issue that they raised, that the patent owner raised, we don't have an opportunity to respond to. Of course we have an opportunity to respond to it. And Willis did, and Willis even addressed it in their survey reply. So the issue was clearly in play, and the board completely ignored the issue and said we're not going to consider that issue because it's a new issue on reply. So okay. That's where...
Counselor, you're over your time.
Oh, sorry, Your
Honor. We're going to give you 2 minutes for rebuttal. Mr. Ernst.
May it please the court, counsel. Again, my name is Patrick Barnes. I represent Willis Electric. The court should affirm the board's judgment in this case.
So the problem I'm having is we've got a situation where Kamada has non-conductive material, that is non-copper wire, reinforcing by being wound on the outside of the wire. And here the patent does what the Blazes shows, which is having the reinforcement inside the wire. Now, why isn't the situation here that we're dealing with a simple substitution, which in fact was argued in the petition? Reinforce inside is a simple substitution for reinforced outside.
Well, I guess the way I'd answer your question, Judge Dyke, is first by pointing out with Kumada, there are copper wires that are twisted together. So that is consistent with the UL standards. That is one form of durability and strength that is taught in the art.
So you're saying there is a cost saving by using the DeBlaise's solution over Kumada's twisted wire?
What I'm saying is, if I could step back, it is Everstar's burden to plead and prove its obviousness case.
No, but you're not answering my question. So you're saying that Kumada is a twisted wire situation, and if that's the case, then it seems as though there's a copper saving by going to a single strand.
There is no record at the board that would support that conclusion. That is not an argument that...
Well, you just said that Kumada is a twisted wire situation.
There is twisted wire. That's right.
So why isn't there a cost saving?
Well, again... There's no reason to combine Kumada with DeBlaise's because...
But that's not my question. There would be a cost saving if you substituted a single strand, as in DeBlaise's, for the twisted wire in Kumada, right?
If you are taking copper out of Kumada and reinforcing it internally with a strand... While it's not in the record, I would assume that there would be a cost savings to that.
So why isn't that a motivation?
Well, again, when you look at the patent, there are multi-dimensional reasons for this invention. Strength is one of them, cost is one of them, bulkiness is one of them. And when you look at the petition. Again, Everstar had the choice to decide how it wanted to plead and prove its petition. And it owned it, and I think it was conceded here, did not address cost as a motivation combined.
Okay, the only motive the board did well, in the institution decision.
In passing.
The rules seem to say that they can address that in the reply as a result.
I disagree with that, and I would direct
disagree
Your Honor.
With what?
Pardon me?
That the rules permit that?
No, I guess I'm trying not to get ahead of Your Honor, and I'm sorry if I did. What I'm trying to address is that the law is clear in Intelligent Bio and in Henny Penny that the board is well within its discretion to hold the petitioner to the invalidity theories that were set forth in the petition.
Well, those were before the amendment to the rules, which says that they can address in the reply what's in the institution decision.
But I would also disagree that the board addressed cost as a motivation to combine. Instead, in the institution decision, the board specifically embraced a simple substitution of known element for another to obtain the predictable and desirable result of a more durable wire. That's the motivation combined. There is a passing reference to cost, but that's not the motivation combined that was embraced in the institution decision. And, Your Honor, what I would say is this would wreak havoc
But a reduction in cost would be a motivation, wouldn't it, under most circumstances?
I don't know how to answer that in the abstract. It's again, Your Honor, this is a multidimensional kind of issue here. In the abstract, more strength is good. In the abstract, lower cost is good. In the abstract, a smaller, you know, less bulky wire would be good. But you kind of rob Peter to pay Paul sometimes. Again, when you go back to what a skilled person in the art would know at the time of the invention, there were absolutely known elements for sufficient durability. The UL standards, which again, Everstar relied on over 70 times.
We're talking about cost saving. I mean, both the Blatis and Kumada talk about cost saving from reducing the amount of copper wire, right? It's right there in the prior art references.
I don't see that in Kumada. I don't see Kumada talking about the cost saving of taking out copper. Kumada talks about an economical process, a kind of a manufacture of assembly.
It says that the amount of wire utilized in the prior art is enormous, and wire costs are the most significant element of cost in the net life. It's talking about the advantages, the cost advantages of reducing the amount of copper.
Didn't the court also, the board, and it seems to me I recall that there's a discussion that the cost of copper is going up at this time, too.
I don't have that. Okay. That at my fingertips, Your Honor. But again, what I've come back to, Judge Reyna, about when I was talking about kind of the relative nature of this industry. De Blatis is a really good example of that, because De Blatis is talking about, and this is why there's substantial evidence that supports the board's finding that the inventions, that Everstar failed to prove obviousness. De Blatis refutes the notion that there's sort of going to be an interest in increasing strength, even though in the abstract, people might say, well, increased strength is a good thing. But again, in the context, there are trade-offs and there are decisions that need to be made. And De Blatis is specifically talking about retaining the strength and is talking about conserving the strength. And so when the only motivation to combine that's in the petition is increased durability or increased strength, that's not De Blatis. And then even if, you know, De Blatis is kind of trying to find ways to incorporate other aspects that would make their preferred embodiment better. I've kind of bounced around a little bit. But I would submit the law is clear in Intelligent Bio and Henny-Penny that the board, again, was well within its discretion. And my concern that I think this court would need to consider if it were considering any sort of relief that Everstar is thinking about is what happens now if there is a stray reference in the institution decision, and what's the patent owner supposed to do? The patent owner is under very strict word limits, page limits, and you look at what happened here. Willis Electric responded in earnest to the petition as set forth with the motivation to combine and address the increased strength. There's about a one page that kind of referenced the institution decision's kind of passing comment. But if this court were to find that it is an abuse of discretion that the board has to consider everything, any new theory that's raised somehow, however brief, however insignificant.
Okay, do you agree that if we find that the board erred in declining to consider cost, that cost is in fact a motivation?
Your Honor, I'm not in a position to make that concession. We would hold Everstar to its burden, and you know I think we'd have to address that issue kind of on the merits and on the record. The fact of the matter is, again, the very simple path forward here is affirmance, because Judge, even if this kind of was an easy argument, and I don't accept that. And I won't concede that. But even at March Madness season, if you got a wide open layup, you got to still put the basket in the hoop. And Everstar didn't do that. Okay, Everstar's petition is crystal clear. There's a crystal clear admission to the board that reduced cost is not in the petition, and we have that same admission here today. And I think following the precedent in Henny-Penny and Intelligent Bio is the right thing to do, and certainly not an abuse of discretion. So with that, I will rest unless the court has any additional questions.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Mr. Babcock has 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honors. Judge Dyke, I found at least one passage that I think answers your question. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to dig through the record. I'm looking at page 41 of our blue brief, which cites Appendix 657. And there we argue to the board that a PASITA, person of ordinary skill in the art, would have been motivated to reduce cost by incorporating the internally reinforced wire of Deblatis 120 into the net light system of Kamada, which will reduce cost of the system and be compliant with UL standards. And that's...
Such a combination would reduce the total amount of copper used in the system in Kamada.
Okay. So we put that together. That argument was in play. We made the combination. We explained why. I'm not suggesting that... I think the question here really is not whether that's correct or not. I think it is correct. I think it's pretty basic, and I think as the court here has kind of suggested that reducing cost, Deblatis says it, Kamada talks about it, the board came up with it, it's not complicated. The question that we're raising on appeal is, should the board have at least considered it? And the board said, we're not even going to consider it, it's a new argument, we apply. And Willis says, well, it was a passing comment in the DI. Well, you know, here, I'm looking at page 25 of our blue brief. This is a part, this is what they argued to the board. Response to institution decision comment. But it says, the board, Deblatis 120, provides cables without being expensive to manufacture. Therefore, a PASITA would be motivated to combine Kamada with Deblatis due to cost. That's not a comment. That's a rationale for institution. That was putting the issue in play. The parties thereafter argued it, put in evidence on it. The board said, we're going to punt entirely. We're not going to consider it at all. That was an abuse of discretion.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Babcock. You both shed light on the issues.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The case is submitted.